Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week,
with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Here we go, 2 hours. Jaguars This Week on a Wednesday night before Thursday night. Preseason ender against the Atlanta Falcons. Welcome in, everybody. John Osher is here. Tony Boselli is here. So, too, is Jeff Lugeman. Headline, Pro Football Talk at this hour. Jaguars owner has no regrets about handling of Maurice Jones-Drew. That's not as big a story as probably two down in smaller print, locked out officials say they're ready to negotiate, or two more down, NFL will start season with replacement officials.
Of course he has no regrets.
I was going to go back to the first one. And that is he said to Vito Stellino afterwards, I want to be clear. I want to be honest. I don't regret saying it.
And this must have been at the,
it was at the
Chamber
today.
Of Commerce yeah. luncheon today?
At the yeah. kickoff luncheon. Here's his exact quote. I want to be honest and truthful, Khan said, via Vito Stellino of the Florida Times Union, I have absolutely no regrets. And he was asked about the remark and the train.
Does that really surprise anybody?
No. It's just the headline.
No, I understand.
So I'm reading
yeah.
it. But no, it doesn't surprise anyone. I will say, I'm a little bit surprised because I got the sense last week when he showed up at the car dealership in Orange Park while we were in Baltimore for the Ravens game, his body language, watching the tape afterwards and hearing his words, I thought he was close to reporting, you know, maybe over the weekend. Yeah, at some point.
I have no sense he's coming in anytime soon.
Well, I would say now, absolutely, you're right. Because I thought last week, kind of, the leanings, the indications were, you know, the words were more conciliatory. You know, he's in town. I just got the sense that that meant he was closer to coming in, but not
and none of us really know. We're speculating because no one's.
Got no idea.
And nothing changed.
He could wake up tomorrow and say, I want to come, but I get no sense
right.
that anything is changing. With Maurice as far as coming in and playing football.
Nope. And so, I don't want to dwell on it other than the fact that it was the top headline this hour. I will read one other thing, and it's Gene Smith's comment, and it was, he was asked, so you are not considering trading him. I got to go back. Smith was asked by the Times Union before the annual kickoff luncheon if there's any chance of a trade if he doesn't show up for the regular season. His reply, Maurice is a Jaguar. He was asked, so you're not considering trading him? He replied, no, and you won't consider trading him? He's a Jaguar. So, that's the story today from the luncheon relative to Maurice Jones-Drew. And at that, we can set that one aside because we don't know.
That's just that whole thing is just kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know, just because, you know, you've got a new owner, a new coach, a whole kind of new vibe coming out of Everbank Field. And, you know, it's the excitement is building. And then you have this.
Which, you know, feels very much like the past.
Yeah. You know, and that's the, it's disappointing. And you know, I don't know if there's a, I mean, the only way to rectify it is that if Maurice is going to decide to come in. But, I mean, it just, I don't know. I mean, there's so many good things happening, and that's the only thing that you just go, come on.
And the thing that's really disappointing, Jeff, is I don't think any of us, as we sat here and did this show in April and May when he missed the minicamp, thought we'd get to this point. I think we all thought,
by this point, something would have happened.
Something would have happened. He'd be here. And now you have to ask yourself the question, or at least the thought, it's going to be a little bit weird when he does show up. I don't think in the locker room.
Absolutely.
I think as players, I think Jeff would agree, you know, you don't care. I mean, you want him here, without a doubt. But once he comes, it's going to be like.
Yeah, but you know what you care about, though? I mean, as a player, is that you know that he can help you win.
No, I understand that part,
you know,
but I'm saying.
So you care about that, and you care that he's not here.
But you know he'll be accepted back in the locker room is my point.
Yeah, he will, but there will be some guys that aren't happy.
Without a doubt. I'm saying it's going to be very weird, though, of how it's going to – and it's going to be a distraction. I don't care.
Gonna be
no
weird.
Matter what, is it's going to be a distraction when he shows up because that will
for
be
a while.
That'll be the main story. So even if – let's say he comes back after two games and this team's 2-0, the story won't be that they're 2-0. The story will be that Maurice Jones-Drew is back.
Right.
And
well,
that's frustrating.
And I want to point out, over your shoulder, you didn't see it, around the horn on ESPN, just previewed the fact that in their next segment they're going to talk about Maurice. And I'm looking, again, over both your and John's shoulder at the TV with NFL Network on it. They've got a rundown in the left-hand column, and they've got Jaguars versus Jones-Drew.
Hey, at least we're getting national pub.
There you go. You were talking about it being a distraction. Clearly, it is a topic of conversation that will not change.
But it'll go from a topic of conversation that when he gets here, it'll be a distraction. And Mike Mularkey will do the best, and he'll work very hard to make sure it's not. But it'll be impossible because the media and the attention will be on Maurice is back. What does it mean? Is he the starter? When does he play? Mm-hmm. What kind of reps? Is he going to split carries? You know, are you going to renegotiate?
Is he happy?
Is he happy? I mean, everything that you don't want to talk about once you're playing football.
And I'll tell you who it's going to be. I mean, from what I know of Mike, he'll handle it fine and it won't bother him. If I was the coach, it would, though. I mean,
oh gosh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
if I was a coach, it would be
a major, sur- you know. But I think Mike,
it's probably why we're not coaches.
Yeah, but it, I think it's got to be weird when he shows up with, he hasn't met Mularkey, he hasn't met Kroom, he hasn't met any of these coaches. He really doesn't know what's going on with this system, with this feel.
Yeah, it's not, you know, like there's a like exactly.
Right, there's no history.
There's no history of a relationship. So you walk in and hey, good to see you again. Right. It's good to have you back.
And that's not
like,
on
hey,
Mike, by the way.
I'm Mike Mularkey. What's your name?
There's sort of a buzz that, oh, Mike hasn't reached out to Maurice Jones-Drew. To me, Mike's been here. He's been where he's supposed to be coaching the team. I'm not sure he was supposed to go out and try to, you know, fly to wherever he was to meet Maurice Jones-Drew. Mike's been painted in a bad light by some for not doing that. To me, Mike's job was here.
Yeah, his job was here to coach the football team.
Which he's done an outstanding job of.
Right.
All right. So enough of that. 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. 800-355-6351. I guess just one more side note. That is Mike Mularkey clarified his comments and made sure that everyone knew that no matter what, Rashad Jennings is his guy.
Well, he's got to be now.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought it was, you
know. Yeah. Well, he's earned it, and he's been here, and from the simple fact that we're sitting here 11 days
right.
out, and Maurice doesn't have a playbook. Doesn't know the system.
Yeah,
doesn't, and I don't care.
Take a genius figure that out.
Yeah, and I don't care what kind, how hard he's been working out. He will not be in football shape opening day.
No, he just can't be.
No, it's impossible. And it's not against Maurice.
No,
it's
no.
any player.
All right,
you can't simulate football shape unless you're playing football.
I said one. I said no more. One more. How long does that take a running back?
I mean, everybody's different, but I would think 2 weeks, 3 weeks to where he. Be a role player. I'm not talking about, you know, carry bell cow, carry the load type of back. I'm talking about a role player. But, you know, that may be his role anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff, do you see him being the bell cow no matter what at this point?
No.
Not unless Jennings gets hurt.
No. No, I mean,
Jennings gets hurt, they may have to go back to something like that.
I could see him eventually being, you know, maybe a starter, you know, and being the main guy. But Rashad Jennings has earned a role.
Yeah, if Rashad stays healthy, he's getting – 200 touches this year if Maurice is here the full time. Without Maurice, he's probably, you know, he's gonna get 300 touches with balls out of the backfield, catching the ball, runs, everything else. But even if Maurice shows up today and gets reps in the first game and Rashad's the starter and works his way back to being the starter, as Jeff just said, they're gonna split, you know, even if it's 60-40. I mean, Rashad Jennings is going to get a good workload this year as long as he's healthy.
And the irony becomes, now there's no way the number, you know, this time next off season or whenever it becomes an issue again, there's no way Maurice's numbers are going to be as good in 2012 as they were 2011. So it hurts whatever
leverage
the plan is.
Well, the plan's
was
blown,
plan
it's blown up
next year. So it's all, you know,
it's out the door.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was doing my prep for this game against the Falcons, and Michael Turner in 3 of the 4 years that he was with Mike Mularkey had over 300 carries, was a featured back. He gave it to one guy, even though they had a couple of different guys.
No, if Maurice would have been here from day one, he would be the guy.
And the only reason, by the way, he didn't have it in the fourth year was because he missed 5 games.
Right.
I mean, he was the guy. And we've talked a little bit about how Mike would feature a running back, and we talk so much about how this is evolving into a passing offense here. It's still ball control to a degree.
Well,
in Atlanta.
Well, I'll say
Matt
this.
Ryan.
Well, I'll say this. In our production meetings before the games, the first 3 weeks, Mike Mularkey has said this is a run-first offense. The base of this, the foundation of this offense is running the ball. We're going to throw the ball, and we're going to throw the ball over the field. But it's still built on running the ball effectively and being physical. And if you look at what they did in Atlanta, that's what he did. Well, if you look at what he did in Pittsburgh, that's what he did.
When you look at the numbers in the preseason so far with the ones and Blaine Gabbert at the helm, they've run the ball more than they've thrown it.
You bet.
So, I mean, that's what they're going to be.
All right, folks, we've got plenty of callers on the line. You can join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Also, at Tony Boselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice via Twitter. And, Joe, we pass it off to you.
Thank you, Brian. Jaguar season tickets, group tickets, and single-game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, just call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. More Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna Bueller Swiss Watch Company. Proud to be the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta, Bryan.
All right, well, we had it turned up during the break, and they came back with Warren Sapp, and he was asked the question, are the Jaguars mishandling the Maurice Jones-Drew situation?
I mean, I didn't hear it. I can tell you what he said.
Well, no. Wait. Forget the fact, by the way, that the question is phrased completely wrong. It's not Jaguars versus Maurice Jones-Drew. It's Maurice Jones-Drew versus Jaguars. He's the one with the contract and holds out. So what do you think Sapp said?
Oh, he was on Maurice's side.
No.
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 Come on.
He said,
I'm shocked. Warren surprised me.
Warren Sapp said that as a player that always played with a contract and always was there on time and never had an issue, you have a contract, you honor your contract. I was very surprised.
Now, Jamie Dukes is talking right now. We had to turn it down. God knows what he's saying.
Thank you.
Were you surprised that Warren said that?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. And to Warren's credit, he never did hold out. And I mean,
no.
It was always there.
We've had such success with an NFL network around here. I mean,
yeah,
but the question is
I threw him in
wrong
with everybody else, thinking the Lombardis and the Heath Evans and everyone else, he would.
Poetic justice. So we've just lost them on our satellite feed. So
he has his moments too. That's for another day.
All right. 355 NFL 1-800-355-6351. And let's start in St. Augustine with Tim. Tim, you're up first tonight. How are you?
How are you doing?
We're energetic, Tim. Are you?
I'm fine, and glad to get rid of all this rain. Anyway, my question is, I'm a contractor myself. If I sign a contract and I just don't show up for a certain amount of time, they take litigation against me. Now, is it different in the sports world than it is in the regular world of contractual agreements?
Yeah, Tim.
Could that ever happen that he ended up going to court because he didn't uphold to his contract? I don't care if he won more money. He signed a contract for that amount of time for that amount of money.
Tim, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a collective bargaining agreement, and therefore it's subject to collective bargaining and not to the courts.
That's right.
And
that's why there's a $30,000 fine. There's language in the CBA.
It's all spelled out.
What happens if someone doesn't honor it? What happens if a player's let go and he's injured? It's all laid out, so nobody is surprised by anything that happens on either side.
Right. This is playing out as it should play out, given these circumstances. But, it's just a strange set of circumstances.
Right now you're looking at fines in excess of $1 million.
Correct.
And at some point, if Maurice doesn't show up, at some point then there becomes a penalty that
signing bonus.
The team could come back and say, we want a prorated portion or signing bonus. I don't know the exact time frame of that.
I think we're there already.
But I know that starts coming into play or is into play.
And then the next step is, you lose game checks. And the CBA last year set up all these things to make it very, very bad for the player to hold out. I mean, the reason these fines are so steep and these things are put in is because they tried to get this out of the NFL system. It didn't work.
So the court's not involved.
Well, it worked for everyone else.
Right. That's true.
No one else is holding out.
So here's a Twitter question from Rob. He wants to know, what do you suggest the Jaguars do with Maurice Jones-Drew?
There's nothing for the Jaguars to do. The Jaguars are not under the gun to do anything.
But I think his question was tilted towards the awkwardness that you thought that we might see when he arrives. Should they do anything? Should they do something?
Well, Gene's made it clear that they're not going to trade him at this point.
Yes.
Now, you always wonder if someone were to show up and say, listen, we'll give you a first rounder, would that change the tune? I don't know. Only Gene Smith knows that. Once he shows up, my guess is what is going to happen. The Jaguars are going to have a go into PR mode and make sure they try to answer the questions the best they can and to limit how long this goes on for. Make Maurice available for a press conference, flush it out of the system, and hopefully a week after he comes back, the conversation is now about the team.
I got a tweet, and it brings up something that I get questions about all the time, and it's starting to sort of irritate you. What Duke said is that the Jaguars will have a hard time signing free agents in the future because of this. And I think that's about as silly as you can get because this is not a free agency issue. I believe this team will spend when players are up and it's time for them to be re-signed. For instance, you know, say Justin Blackmon winds up looking as good as he's looked so far. In 4 years, he's up for free agency. I don't doubt that they will pay guys who are free agents what the going market is. He is not a free agent, and that's why they're not doing it. And in free agency, Jeff, you were a free agent. It's who calls you with the deal. It's not what they've done before. It's got nothing to do with what they've done before.
Players want to go where they are paid the most.
Stop.
And have that's one. But also, and then where they feel like they have the best opportunity to win.
Well, in some cases, right. You know, the pay is equal. I mean, then you go into other factors. But I mean, the number one factor is pay.
But this will not hurt the Jaguars in future.
No, and the person that tweeted you that.
No, Duke said it on
Jamie
the
Duke
Jamie
said it.
Well, so go ahead. Jamie is incorrect.
Anything else that you'd like to add to that?
I'll just add this and that, you know, if I were a general manager, you want to make sure that the long-term future of this team is the priority. You know, you want to have the great player that Maurice Jones-Drew is, but you also don't want to have a problem going forward. And you have to consider that in any decision that you would make as a general manager. And what I mean by that is, you know, you welcome Maurice back with open arms if it's going to be, hey, look, you know, you got 2 years left, and, you know, Maurice comes in and says, I'm going to play it. If he comes in and he's not happy and is a problem, which I wouldn't expect Maurice to be, but you got to know that.
Right.
Then you've got to make a decision. You can't interrupt the forward progress that you've been making as a team.
Which is significant.
But the one question I have, and I don't know the answer, and we probably none of us do, but I think it's a good discussion, is when Maurice, or if he comes back, when and if he comes back, and John brought it up and goes through the season, I think if everything stays status quo health-wise with the running back situation right now, he is not going to have the year he had last year because he's not going to have the touches and everything else. So then that puts you into next year, and are we right back where we started from, with Maurice being unhappy with his deal and wanting more money because he's in the last year, but now you're a team and you're sitting there. Well, the production's not there. I mean, the thing I worry about is this just not just a immediate problem, but are we looking at a two-year issue?
I don't think there's any question. And the problem for Maurice, and I think this is part of why he's insistent on getting it now, is not only all the things you said, but he's a year older, which puts him in even worse of a spot because he's another year older with a running back. And, you know, I don't necessarily believe that he's at the end, but NFL school of thought is that seven-year running backs are running out of time. So that won't help. It won't help him to be a year older next offseason.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Hey, a follow-up. Jonathan wants to know what happens with the money they fine Maurice.
I hope it goes to,
to charity, doesn't
NFL
it?
Charities.
I think it should go to Jacksonville Charities. There's a really good after-school program here. I've been to lobby for.
Do you know someone? Can we get a phone number?
Yeah, it's SullyFoundation.com. Get all the information you need.
The fines go to
ring the bell.
Thank you.
Charities.
They do.
But I'm not sure how that works because you have different fines. You have club fines and then you have league fines. And the league has NFL charities
right.
That I think their money goes to, and I think that the club fines is determined by the club.
Yep, mm-hmm. And I think this would be club fines.
Right.
And so I think the money is directed, whether it's from I think in the past the head coach has done it. I know Tom did, and I know Jack did.
So you got a real good chance.
Well, I'm going to lobby real hard.
All right.
Well,
maybe there's a list we can all get on.
The OSHA Family Foundation? Right.
Just to add something to this, I mean, there's nobody that's been more charitable in this community than the Jaguars.
Oh, gosh, they've given so much money.
And nobody
away.
Will be more so than the Jaguars.
Absolutely. They've been the best. And I don't know if the players vote on it. Everyone does it different. And Jeff's right. There's league fines. The league dictates that to NFL charities. The club fines, I think the Jaguar Foundation and the whatever process they go and give that money away, and that's why they've always – but they've never had this situation that I know of, Jeff, in the past where it's been $1 million fine.
Yeah.
There's some happy charities out there.
I mean, there'll be some people lining up at the door is my guess.
All right, we've hit the bottom of the hour, which means it's time for news from the folks over at News Talk, WOKV. We will first send it to Joe, who will send it to break. Joey?
I can do it. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today. Yes, news is next and more of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. What is that you're about to eat, Mr. Pacelli? That's
burrito.
Wow.
That's four burritos.
We'll be back on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. All you got to do to join the Refer a Fan program, call the Jaguars ticket office 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com.
All right, got a couple things to run by you. First of all, the number 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Kyle's with us. Kyle, is it Lawson or Larson? Kyle Larson is with us, and he will be answering the phones this evening. We certainly appreciate him.
Kyle's doing a heck of a job.
Doing a heck of a job, absolutely. He went to Kansas.
Joe, what are you doing then?
I'm not doing anything.
No, it's perfect. We've made his life easy.
You should have brought another burrito in.
Oh. And Kyle's not getting paid, so it's even better for Joe, right?
Joe, when you don't do anything, how do you know? What's the difference?
I don't know.
Twitter, at Tony Pacelli.
Johnny.
At John Osher, at Jags Voice. And here's an interesting pregame note, or I'm sorry, program note. Next Wednesday and through the remainder of the season, this show will be broadcast live at Latitude 30, which is becoming the official away game headquarters of the Jaguars. So for away games out throughout the season, there'll be cheerleaders in Jacksonville and all kinds of specials at Latitude 30 right down across from the Avenues Mall on US 1. It's a gorgeous facility, and we will be there 6 to 8 every Wednesday night through the remainder of the season.
I have one question.
Was that a request?
It was a question. It's a request. It's a request and a question.
You know, that should be in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we getting fed?
Oh, yes.
You're getting fed. Everybody's getting fed.
I was told that there will be F&B. Food and beverage.
I just want the food. Just the
wow, app. I don't know if you could talk like that on the radio.
Yeah, I think you can.
F&B.
Just make sure there's plenty of it.
Okay.
I don't want like a little skimpy little finger food. Let's get like a full.
We know.
Have you been down there?
Yeah, I want a full spread.
Cool place.
It's a cool place.
I want a full spread.
Maybe by the in a couple months or so, we'll see you bowl.
Yeah, we should all bowl after the show.
Oh, I'll kill you.
You can't do it yet, though.
Yeah, I'm good, baby.
You can bowl?
Oh, bowl away.
Bowling for food.
Do we got a little bet going here?
Whatever you
want
to bet.
I'm writing that down.
All right, so you're all welcome to come out and join us.
August 29th, Tony Pacelli says, I will kill you in bowling.
Just make sure there's, more importantly than bowling, I want make sure there's plenty of food.
You have a credit card in your pocket, don't you?
No.
Vaselli's in line for the free grub.
Do you got a bowling shirt and everything?
I'll get one.
Got your bag?
I'll go buy the whole gear to beat you.
What was that movie?
Kingpin?
Yeah, with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks. So that's next Wednesday night. We invite you to come out. Joe, are you going to have a wireless mic?
I will have
so
a wireless.
So Vaselli can roam the crowd?
He can roam the crowd.
He can
anyway.
Pick food off of people's plate as he asks them for
questions. No, I don't want to take other people's food. I just want my own food.
Well, I just want to make sure there's enough for you.
I'd hope there is. They got a kitchen, don't they?
Yeah, oh, they got a big one, too. All right, so Latitude 30 next Wednesday. Jaguars This Week throughout the season at the official away game headquarters of the Jaguars, Latitude 30. All right, so let's take some calls. You ready?
Before we take calls, is there like a menu we can order off before we get there?
If somebody from Latitude 30 is listening, would you please call? Our number is 355-NFL1.
We'll need dinner for six.
Tell Kyle that you are from Latitude 30 and that you've got some menus. We'll throw you on the air.
The key is the menu
part. We'll find out if you've got what Baselli's looking for.
Right. I mean,
or, more importantly, if you can cater to him next week and get him what he wants.
Maybe we know what the specials are in advance.
There you go.
Or we can request specials.
Now, Latitude 30's got that green Camaro parked out front of there. Maybe they can come pick you up.
No, I'll drive myself.
Salad. Right. Salad would be good for you.
Folks,
as a warm-up.
Just to
my
get
first
started.
First,
Oh, is she good
course.
With this?
I'm good with it.
All right.
I'm good with it. Gene Frenette just tweeted that Sports Illustrated picked the Jaguars to go 2-14.
Wow. And all based on Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, I'm sure it's based on
what's the importance of that? None. Oh.
I'm sure it's based on the same insight we've been hearing for the last two or three months.
Absolutely. And they probably went to zero practices, watched zero preseason games, and probably know zero about what's really going on.
Unless it was Peter King, because he was here at one point. I put zero credibility into the
How do you feel about John Gruden?
What'd he say?
Because he was asked, you know, they went through the AFC South, and they went by what your record was last year, so it was five for us. We had five wins. Was it over under? He said, oh, definitely under.
There's a disconnect between perception and reality on this team.
It may be unlike any we've ever seen.
That's why they play the games.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to say what I want to say.
Well, what you want to say is what you'd like to eat next week at Latitude 30.
Well, I have other things to say, too, but, I mean, it's nonsensical.
Okay.
It's not even worth responding to.
Right.
Because it's so – I would love to ask, whether it's John Gruden or whoever wrote the Sports Illustrated article, why you feel that. And my guess is they could not articulate in a coherent sentence why they feel that way.
Well, no, here's what you'd get. You'd get that the Jaguars were a one-dimensional offense last year. It was all based on Maurice Jones-Drew, and he's not there, so how can they win more games? That's what you'd get. I would say
that is an ignorant comment because you have not watched, obviously, one preseason game or anything with training camp or what they've done in the offseason.
You're exactly correct.
Well, maybe they've been reading Michael Lombardi and listening to Heath Evans.
Well, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
All right, so we got phone calls stacked up. Let's grab a couple before we have to get our next break, and let's start with JR. Intercoastal West, JR, bring it. What's going on tonight?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I appreciate you taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Okay, I'm going to try to keep this thing as summarized as I can. This whole debacle about Maurice Jones-Drew and the team and that all, first I'll say I think it's just an unfortunate situation because I do understand on both sides, Jags and Maurice Jones-Drew. But the diehard Jag fan in me can't help but to try to find an optimistic spin on this thing. What I'm thinking is Maurice Jones-Drew is going to come back, and he is going to play this season, and he is going to do well. And I think the positives that have come out of this, even though it's an unfortunate situation, is that Maurice Jones-Drew had a lot of carries last year, led the league in rushing last year. Him not playing in the preseason, I think, is different than maybe a rookie or a younger player not playing in. This preseason, we basically kept him off the field, stopped any injuries, any soreness, getting hurt, extra hits. And in the same sense, we've also had Rashard Jennings in there. He's been improving. He's gotten better every year. He's proven that he can run the ball. And, I mean, it's been proven in the NFL. You got to have two studs in the backfield. And I think this year, Rashard Jennings turned the corner. And so hopefully this is a deal where now we have two legitimate running backs that we can go into the season with this new offense, and we'll blast off. What do you guys think?
Well, first and foremost, JR, I want to just correct your pronunciation. It is Rashad, okay?
And Lagerman.
Yeah.
It's got the same problem.
Yeah, I get that all the time. And it's Rashad Jennings, so let's get that right. We don't want to have the Gerard problem, you know, going forward with Rashad.
Good call, Lagerman.
thanks for the R.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, it's a positive way to look at it, you know, but,
there's nothing positive.
They would have done that anyway. They would have kept
him. He wouldn't have played anyway.
Healthy, they would have monitored it. If he was here, he would know the offense. He would have gotten his reps that he needed. Yes, he's going to be healthier, but it's going to take him a while to get to where he's productive. So that's the balance off.
I see nothing positive about this holdout.
355 NFL 1. We grab another phone call. It's JD in Mandarin. JD, we welcome you to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. A couple of questions for you. Number one. And I'll get off of the line here. Do you think the Maurice Jones-Drew deal is more on his health of his knee, holding out for two or three more weeks, or you know, more recuperation time on the knee?
No,
and the second he wants more money.
Is
it's all about the Benjamin?
It's not a health issue; it's a money issue for him.
All right. Second question is: Greg Jones has been there six years?
Nine.
Yeah, nine.
This year is number nine.
It is.
he hasn't missed very many games over injury. I think maybe, what, half a season 4 years ago?
Yeah, he had the ACL.
He had the ACL. That was 2006. And then he also had the shoulder at the end of last year. So he's had some injuries.
But not a lot for a fullback.
Why would they not put him in a tailback position in short yardage situation and bring in the new rookie? Didn't we sign a fullback?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, Greg is a fullback. And could you use him in short yardage situation? Yeah, you could. But over the last couple of years, Maurice has been one of the best short yardage backs that there is. And why would you take one of the best blocking fullbacks in the National Football League and take him away from one of the best short yardage backs carrying the ball in Maurice? You know, so, you know, I mean, yeah, that's a possibility. But, you know, they actually tried that a couple of years ago with Greg, to where they get him some carries. But, I mean, when you got better options, you stick with the better options, and that better option includes 33 as a blocker.
Well, and one of the things you never want to do, I think, as a coach, is you don't want to move a guy from one position to another where you weaken both.
Right, you don't outthink yourself.
You don't outthink yourself. Greg Jones is so good at fullback. He's so powerful. He's such a physical blocker. You weaken the offense immediately if you remove him from that spot, no matter who you put there. And then you put him at tailback, unless you have no other short yardage backs, that would not make sense.
Here's the numbers.
You know what happened last week, though? It's the first time I've ever seen Greg Jones get jacked up.
Who jacked him up?
And I showed this, get ready, Joe, for Jaguars All Access on Monday night, which is available on jaguars.com at your convenience. Actually, the last play that I showed on the smart board, Haloti Ngata ragdolled Evan Britton, threw him aside, which Evan's a physical, good blocker. Threw him aside like he wasn't even there. And then Greg Jones is trying to come through the hole to go to the second level and pick up the linebacker. Greg sees him, tries to gather real quick and hit Haloti Ngata. And Haloti Ngata puts Greg on his heels. And then Haloti Ngata runs through Uche Nwaneri, who was blocking the nose tackle, on his way to the running back, ends up falling over Uche.
Well, Haloti's pretty big.
He's huge.
342 is what he
weighs. He didn't have a great year last year for Haloti Ngata. He was dominant the year before.
Good.
He was good last year. But the way he played in the preseason game, boy, he's gonna, if he keeps it up like that, he's going to be dominant again. I mean,
the way he threw Evan Britton,
he's a man-child.
That's not even fair.
Right.
I mean, not even fair.
Here are the numbers, by the way, on Jones. In 8 previous seasons, he's missed 10 games and all of 2006. So 26 total. Remember, Blue Adams, the Tampa cornerback, got him in that game in the preseason.
Yeah,
so
hit him in the knee as he's catching the ball in the backfield.
Yep. So in 7 seasons that he was active on the roster, he missed 10 games total.
Not bad.
No, for a fullback?
Not bad at all.
Not too bad at all.
And I remember the hit by the corner.
I do too, right on the knee.
Tampa.
Yeah.
And Greg had time. He saw it.
Yep.
And he still put that foot down. And when the DB came in, Adams, right? Blue Adams?
Blue Adams. He was
came
here
in. When he came in, Greg had time to adjust, and he didn't. You know, it was unfortunate.
I wonder how many games other people have missed because of Greg Jones.
Probably more than 26.
More than 26.
All right, we need a break. Let's take it now. Joe.
Brian. When you're looking for a department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price, more Jaguars this week. Presented by Aetna right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. Brian?
All right. We're sitting here debating, you know, some of the magazine's perception of the Jaguars and predictions, and they're preposterous. Let's grab James, who is in Kentucky, and let him vent, and then we'll let Tony vent. Go ahead, James. What's up tonight?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight?
Excellent.
Hey, real quick, I want to thank you guys, everyone there, for putting All Access on Monday night. Jaguars.com, we appreciate it here. Who don't get to see that access.
I told you, just have a little patience, and, you know, there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but just to let everybody know, James, just to add another thing here, get ready, Joe. Jaguars All Access will always be cataloged on the website at jaguars.com, but you can also actually watch it live at jaguars.com.
And I'll take a lot of credit for that. I had nothing
Johnny
to do with
way
it.
Way to go.
But I'll take some credit.
Way to go.
But seriously, a shout out to Chris Burdett and Patrick Cavanaugh of Jaguars.com, who really did the mother load of the work on that.
They did.
Get that ready.
They did. So I don't want to give people the impression that I did anything to make that happen. Chris and Patrick, baby.
No, I'll give people that impression that I did, even though I didn't.
And I also want to give a nice plug to the folks at CBS 47, because, I mean, that's the television partner,
yeah.
And you got to have a television partner that's willing to do some of the legwork as well. And great job, CBS 47.
All right, we got about 4 minutes left. So what's your perception of the national perception, James?
Loggy brought this out a few weeks ago where I just want to tell the national media, just kiss it. We're done with them. We'll just, what the win for, speak for themselves. I don't know what we're going to go. I think we're an 8 or 9 win team. People forget last year that we were really 2 or 3 wins away from either a bad snap or a bad punt. We had a lot of injuries. So I think with that being said, with the added talent, with better coaching, I think we could pull off 8 or 9 wins.
So you disagree with ESPN, the magazine that says 1-15, and Sports Illustrated, which says 2-14.
Oh, absolutely! They're the most ignorant people ever. So, I definitely
can John tweet that?
Hold on, James. Can we get you to say "just kiss it" one more time? Because I'm having flashbacks of Bill telling Vic "just kiss it."
It's a promo in waiting. So say it loud and proud.
Just kiss it.
Yeah.
No, you got to say it. Hey, national media, just kiss it.
Hey, national media, just kiss it.
See, I like that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's talk about this. So ESPN, the magazine, has us at 1-15.
Which I throw away every time it shows up in my mailbox.
And Sports Illustrated has us at 2-14.
I read that one.
So do they understand how hard it is to go 1-15?
They said the Jaguars' first year was 4 wins.
And we
this
didn't
team
have,
was
we didn't
and
have
present
nothing.
Company excluded.
I thought we were outstanding.
Tough to watch them die.
But let's
you were promising.
Let's look at last year's team. We were 5-11. Was there a more dysfunctional team and situation than here in Jacksonville?
Not since the 1998 Cincinnati Bengals. No.
I mean, it was
You looked at the entire year and what went down from lockout to quarterback change, opening week.
We cut our starting quarterback. Tuesday
firing
of opening
a coach,
week, fired our coach, sold
firing
the team,
a quarterback's coach, sold
had
the team.
The entire secondary, defensive backs at least, corners,
20,
hurt.
25 on IR, is that right?
Promoted a quality
more than
control
that,
coach
crossed
for receivers.
Through it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that was
and we had
five win team.
Right. It's. I mean, every year I'm always amused in September how the third week of the season there's all these national stories about, boy, you just can't predict the NFL. There's all these surprise teams. But the reason there's all these surprise teams is people who are doing the predicting didn't know what they were talking about. It's not that they're surprise teams. It's that you just don't know in this league who's good until week 3 or 4 anyway. But most people doing these predicting may know enough about 1 or 2 teams to accurately predict how they're going to do.
And
it's almost impossible to know 32.
Let me break out my I'm trying to think of the former Herm Edwards. That's why you play the game.
And I'll say this, and we all love the team. We are biased and
you
probably
play to win the
lean
game.
Lean towards believing the best. But I'll say this, I'll be shocked if this team doesn't win 7 or more. I'd be surprised.
I've got them at more.
I'd be surprised.
I think the coaching makes a huge difference.
And so when you say 1 or 2 or 4 or 5,
that's not understanding.
What?
14 games under a young quarterback's belt is the thing that makes the most difference, period.
And an off season and the coaching and all that.
How about the players we've added?
No doubt.
Was anyone at the caliber of Justin Blackmon catching the ball last year?
There was very few on the roster that have his skill set.
He's special. He is very, very special.
I mean, LaRon
Johnny
Robinson?
O's coming around.
What's that?
Johnny O. Boy, he was, there's not a receiver.
LaRon Robinson?
The fact that Mike Thomas
can go to the slot where he's comfortable?
You've got a lot of options at receiver that you didn't have last year.
Aaron Ross, now all of a sudden you put Rasheen at the nickel?
Well, and how about Andre Branch adding a legitimate pass rusher now, even as a rookie, a guy who's making waves.
Well, let me correct something you said there, Tony. And a lot of I don't want a lot of people to get the wrong idea.
No, he's coming in at the nickel.
Yeah,
Aaron Ross will be the nickel, but
yeah, because the newspaper also kind of represented it. When Rasheen comes in, he actually goes to corner
in the
nickel package, and then Aaron Ross has been going to the nickel in the slot.
All right, we have run out of time for hour number one. Clearly, we have enough to talk about to fill hour number two, so come back after the news here on News Talk, WOKV, and Jaguars Radio. All right, here we go, hour number two. And don't forget, a week from tonight, we will be live at Latitude 30, right there on US 1 across from the Avenues Mall from 6 to 8. With Jaguars This Week, they are now the official away game headquarters of the Jaguars, and it is the home of Jaguars This Week this football season. So starting next Wednesday, we'll all be down there, so make sure you come and join us and find out if Tony is emaciated by the end of the program.
We're going to find out what kind of game he's got on the bowling alley.
All this braggadocious talk.
It's
better than yours.
We're going to find out, big boy.
I worry about a lot of things. Tony being emaciated?
Probably not one of them. It was a little hyperbole there, just to remind people that Tony is always hungry.
I'm not going on a diet.
355-NFL-1.
I might.
800-355-6351. All right, we've got callers on the line, but we need to change the topic of conversation here. So let's talk about the roster a little bit, because the Jaguars will play tomorrow night. We expect the starters to go a bit, you know, whatever that means, we can discuss. And then a lot of the twos, threes, fours, all the way down. Cuts have to be made by Friday afternoon.
Well, just to lay it out, it's going to be about 10 to 12 plays on both sides of the ball. The only thing that would change that is if a drive goes particularly longer than that, then that would change that. But, you know, they'll get them 10 to 12 plays and then get them out.
Have the Falcons said, are they going to play their starters? Or are they going to sit them? They've sat them in recent years.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. Just curious.
They have not said, according to all the reports coming out of Atlanta.
But nothing yet?
No, I haven't. I mean, I was looking today trying to find out what their plan is.
Right.
Nothing's been said yet, but, you know, Mike Smith.
He's got a fifth-year team, so I wouldn't expect
him to play.
He's been
kind of known to pull him in the last game, so we'll see.
Those teams that know what their personnel is, that have it experienced.
Well, I mean, you look at the Patriots.
Don't
right
play
now. They're starting Ryan Mallett in their final preseason game here tonight. So.
And I don't think Brady played the last preseason game as well.
Probably not. Yeah, that sit trend started at the end of 2000 and the end of the preseason in 2006, I think, when we went up to New England, and we found out right at the last minute that none of the starters were even going to dress for the New England Patriots. And since then, the fourth preseason game has pretty much been done. Not much to talk about. So let's talk about the roster, and we'll start with quarterback. How many do they keep? Two or three? Does Jordan Palmer make this team?
You know, I would say two.
Two.
You know, just because the roster rules have not changed.
Right.
They've done that in the past. They feel very confident about, you know, the number one and the number two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last week we saw Chad Henne come in. We haven't seen the play time that would say that, you know, Jordan Palmer is competing. So I think it's two, but I'm not certain on that.
And I would say it's even more of a chance at two because you've got injuries to other positions that are going to cause them to maybe keep an extra guy at a spot or two. I think they're going to have to keep one extra tight end than they would have because of Zach Miller's injury. You know, there's a couple situations like that where I think they're going to have to keep a six wide receiver as opposed to a five that would allow you to keep a third quarterback.
All right, well,
and you look at a guy like Jordan, if you do let him go, what are the chances that our team picks him up?
Right.
And he could be your Todd Bowman.
And he could be a guy, if something happened, you bring him in because he knows the offense and you're comfortable with him. He's proven that he's a capable guy that can go out there and perform.
Right. And I got questions in the offseason. Why do you bother having a Jordan Palmer or a Nathan Enderle? This was before people saw Jordan play. And the reason that you have three and four quarterbacks in camp is exactly the reason you just said, Tony, because you want guys who understand your scheme, even if they're released – you need guys that you can call in an emergency.
It's the same way, not just for quarterback. I mean, that's for all positions.
Right.
You know, the first call you're going to make is somebody that knows what you've been doing all through training camp and knows your system. You know, so
Now, tight end, I don't know about tight end out there, Johnny O. You talked about Zach Miller.
This is an interesting one.
You know, this to me is going to be very curious. Mm-hmm. And by the way, cuts on Friday have to be in by 9 p.m. And Zach Miller, how much has he played in the preseason?
Very little.
I will tell you.
How much did he practice in training camp?
Right. Now, no,
how much did he practice in the offseason? I was told it was 35 snaps since the OTAs.
Yeah, so you don't know what you
right.
got there.
I didn't mean to say earlier that there was a guarantee that he was going to be on the roster. I just mean that if you're going to keep him, then you probably have to keep Colin Clardy as well because you need that. You know, you can't – right now you can't assume that Zach's going to be healthy.
Well, with the move tight end in question, does this team look at a guy like Chris Cooley?
I was asking that yesterday.
Maybe.
I got the same answer as I asked people. Well, yeah, he might be someone that you look at. Here's the bigger picture with Zach Miller. Tremendously talented. Good guy in the locker room. Guy with genetic material that says he should be a football player. He can't stay healthy. He misses training camp with a torn muscle, and then he comes back and he hurts his calf, ankle, Achilles.
Pec and then a calf.
Yeah, so a calf.
And it was only after like two or three plays.
So he's so talented. Do you, if he's not ready, do you hold on to him? If he's not going to be ready, do you put him on IR? Or at some point, does a new staff say, you know what, we just have to move on and go find someone who can stay
on
the field?
I think if he's extremely talented, first of all, is he healthy? Can you release him?
Right.
You know, I'm sure you could probably waive him injured. But does he have a lot of film out there recently that would make another team want to come up and just take him? No. You know, so I think it's going to be a tough cut for Zach Miller.
And if that's the case, then Colin Clardy does absolutely make this team. Sure. Unless they go get a Cooley.
Or you go and you look at what else is out there.
Right.
You know, Chris Cooley's out there, like Tony said, you know.
And someone may be out there. You know, a young guy, a talented guy. You know, you were talking about the guy in Atlanta who they're not going to let go. But there might be a guy out there that doesn't quite cut the mustard. Here's a question for you. If they decide to keep Zach, but they're not confident in how soon he'll be ready to go, they keep Cloherty, they've got four. Does that mean they keep five receivers? Does that cost Kevin Elliott a spot?
I don't think they're going to keep Zach. I don't even think that's – I mean, I'm not saying it's a definite. I'm just saying – I'm talking active roster.
Okay.
I don't think that he's going to make the active roster.
Well, and how long is he – well, how bad is the calf?
I don't know. But you can't put him on PUP because he's already practiced.
No, you'd have to IR him.
You IR him or release him injured.
Okay. So, five receivers or six?
I mean, to me, I like five. And
I think they keep six because I think Brian Rubisky's proven as a guy who can play, and I think they like Kevin Elliott on special teams.
I think they like Kevin Elliott, but I think he's a guy that needs developing. I think he's a practice squad type of guy.
But is a guy like Kevin Elliott because what he's – does he get through, or does another team come and pick him up because of what he can do on special teams?
No.
My impression is that this team probably likes Kevin Elliott because they've seen him in practice and know what he might be. I think he's shown more in practice than he has in games.
He has.
And I'm not sure other teams are going to look at his game film and say, oh, wow.
No.
I do think this team looks at his practice and thinks, give him an off season with his size and with his ability, you might have a wow.
Well, and the other thing is, if he stood out on special teams, he's done a good job on special teams, but do you remember a play that you meant, nice play, Kevin Elliott, on special teams?
No.
No. You know, so to me, he's a guy that practice squad, and I think practice squad,
perfect.
They can start signing them Saturday at noon.
They can, you're correct.
And really, he's the perfect guy for that because you can clearly see he's got ability that makes you think he might be a pretty good receiver someday. Just not quite yet in terms of your top five.
The only limitation you see with him is he doesn't have great speed. You know, he's physical, mm-hmm. He's tough, he's not intimidated by anything.
Well, if he had great speed, he'd have been a draft pick.
Yes.
Because he's got everything else.
That's the one thing, because, you know, when you watch him in coverage on special teams, from what I see, that's the one thing. He's not separating down the field like an Antoine Blake does. When Antoine Blake goes down the field, you're like, who's that guy? You know, of course he's a gunner, but Kevin Elliott has had a shots at gunner too. And when you got Antoine Blake and Kevin Elliott, and they've got the same block basically in front of them, Antoine Blake's 15 yards down the field,
right,
past Kevin Elliott.
And then to the offensive line, where there is precious little depth. I mean, I think a lot of us were counting the days till Will Rackley would be ready to go, but it sure doesn't appear that he is ready to go at this moment in time. So behind him now, you're playing without your backup center. John Estes is on injured reserve. Who do you have? Who do you count on in the offensive line group, Logs, that can fill out an eight-man, you know, group of offensive linemen?
I think this group might be a little light, you know, as far as numbers go. You know, you've seen offensive lines in the past keep nine. And in some cases, if you've really got quality depth, they could go 10. I would guess that they're going to be in the eight range. Because on game day, you're gonna have seven active anyway.
Right, so you keep eight on the active roster. You just go heavy on the practice squad for your scout team in practice. I mean, you look at they're fine. The three tackles, I think, are pretty obvious. You have Eugene Monroe, Cameron Bradfield, and Guy Wimper are your three tackles. You have Brad, Eben, and Uche as your interior. Not knowing what's going on with Will Rackley, that's a big question mark. And then you have to look at a guy like Mike Brewster, who's played well, probably your backup.
He's a lot.
Yeah, he's your backup center. And now you're looking for that third swing guard. And I think that's the big question right now. If Will Rackley, depending on his health, who is that third swing guard?
Well, swing guard wouldn't be Daniel Baldridge.
Well, I mean, your first one is going to be Will Rackley if he could, you know,
if he's healthy. That's the question.
But if not, you know, Brewster is a center. You know, right now I think he's a center.
You don't have that third guard.
The guy that they just signed in camp has done a pretty good job.
Josh Beekman.
Mm-hmm. He's shown the ability to play guard. He's played in the league. You wouldn't get scared about it. You know, Baldridge has somewhat of a limitation that he's a right tackle or he's a guard. You know, I've never seen him rep at left guard or certainly not at left tackle. I don't think his feet are quite there. But he's done a very good job at right guard and right tackle. But, you know, as an offensive lineman, if you're not a starter,
you've got to be able to multitask.
That's
exactly
right. You've got to be able to be a swing guy, and that's what probably limits Daniel Baldridge a little bit.
Does he make the roster?
I think it's going to be tough for Daniel. I don't know if he's got any practice squad eligibility. What, they're allowed 3 years on practice squad?
They are, I think it's, what is it, 9 or 12 games on the active roster.
Yeah.
Eliminates them as well. They've tweaked that in the
end. Yeah, and I'm not sure if he's eligible for that or not. But, I mean, I like the guy. You know, he when you watch him, you go, but then at the end of the play, his guy just ends up blocked. You know, but I think eight there.
I think this is going to be a year, too, and we talked about it a little bit, where the so-called final 53 is not really a final 53. I think you're going to have some practice squad guys who probably come up relatively quick once some of these injury situations work out. I mean, they've got enough injuries where they're going to have to juggle the roster starting out that their final 53 is probably not really a final 53.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. When we return, we'll talk about the Jaguars on defense. Until then, we pass it along to you, Joey.
You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. More Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna, here on Jaguars Radio. Well, Jaguar season tickets, group tickets, and single game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, just call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com.
All right, we spent so much time on Maurice Jones-Drew in the first half hour of the program. I went right over running backs as we talked about cuts. Where do you guys see the running back group? And how do you – I mean, Maurice is not on the roster at this point, so you don't even consider him. How do you see it shaking out Friday afternoon? And then we'll obviously deal with where it goes.
Yeah, Maurice doesn't count because he's on that reserve, did not report list. So, obviously, Rashad Jennings, Montel Owens, and then I think once you get past those two guys – Jalen Parmley, special teams player. He's going to be a guy that can be active on game day. Had two real nice kick returns last week. He's got value. Keith Tostin, who was inactive last week. Boy, I was really kind of disappointed that he tweaked that hamstring in New Orleans because he showed some things. I think he makes it, you know, especially at a position that, you know, you need to have somebody else, you know, in there, and he showed some things, and Sylvester Croom's got a little history with him.
Like they like him as a back more than they do Parmley.
Yeah, as a back.
Right.
But he's a better runner than Parmley.
Parmley certainly showed something on special teams that made him into the conversation.
And they need
last
a kick return.
Right.
As far as fullback, it's going to be interesting there because, you know, obviously Greg's going to make it, and Greg's, you know, not getting any younger, and Will Tofoa.
That's what I said on stage at the luncheon today.
What'd you say?
Tofoa.
Tofoa.
And you're going with that?
Until you pronounce it correctly for me.
He's a hammer. You know, he's going to give you something on special teams. You got to, when you start looking at roster numbers and who you're going to keep and who you're not going to keep, you really have to look at it from the standpoint of who's going to contribute on game day and help you on special teams. So you kind of look at it from that standpoint. All right. He can give you something there.
Now throw Maurice back in the mix, and what does it look like?
Then I think you end up possibly losing Tofoa because then Montel is no longer a backup tailback. Then he is more of a fullback.
Okay.
And then also Tofoa is not a vested veteran. He's not guaranteed any kind of money. He's a young player.
You probably can put him on practice squad.
Yeah, and then you can put him back on practice squad.
With the idea that usually somebody at that position gets hurt and you might need him again.
Sure.
So,
Tofoa.
Tofoa.
We'll get it right. Tofoa.
Tofoa.
That's from Ryan Robinson. So, hopefully he's right. All right, to the defensive side of the ball, and maybe the most talented, deepest group on the roster, and that's the defensive line.
At defensive tackle, not very deep at defensive end right now because of injuries.
Right.
Which ESPN, by the way, rated the worst defensive line in the NFL.
No, they did not.
Yeah.
On a defense that was ranked sixth at the end of last year.
And I only mention that not to,
come on,
to the absurdity of what people don't understand about this team.
The worst defensive line in football?
Yeah.
This could be, you know, looking at numbers, this could be 9, it could be 10. You know, this is probably going to be the heaviest group of all because you've got a couple injuries there with Austin Lane and George.
Jeff, start at defensive tackle because I think that's where you have a lot of depth and there's going to be some possibly some good players let go.
Well, I think the locks are obviously Tyson and Terrence, C.J. Mosley, and D'Anthony Smith. I thought that D'Anthony Smith has had an outstanding preseason.
I don't think they let go of Jarius either because of the upside.
And on Jarius, we're going to find out a lot more about Jarius and tomorrow night because, you know, this is a big game for Jarius because, you know, if you're – not many teams keep 5 defensive tackles. But, I mean, they've all played pretty well. And Jarius has got to give them a reason to say, yes, we're keeping 5. And I think that he'll play well because he's played well in spurts.
Mm-hmm.
And he made some real nice plays in Baltimore. You know, the only thing that I think kind of fell off for him a little bit was conditioning-wise. Performance dropped a little bit as the game wore on. But, you know, he's a big guy, and he hasn't had to do the number of reps that he got in Baltimore. You know, but it's going to be fun to watch him tomorrow night because he's going to play a lot.
Well, then you go to the defensive end position. Obviously, you have Mincy and Andre Branch are going to be your 2 starters. Aaron Morgan, I think he's proven – he's shown something that, Jeff, you and I talked before the first preseason game that we said you had to see it in the games this year.
And we did.
And we did. And so I think he's your third, or at least your backup right defensive end. I think you have a lot of questions at your left defensive end because of the injuries to Austin Lane and George Selvey. And
I think that if this
– how quickly are they going to be able to get back?
If both of those guys were healthy in camp, then I think we'd be looking at 4 defensive ends. But because of the injury questions there with both of them, I think we're looking at possibly 5, and they both could make it. You know, and
but who plays left defensive end opening weekend with those two guys if those two guys aren't healthy besides Mintz?
Tyson can go out and play in. I mean, that's the nice thing about having depth at tackle is that Tyson could swing out and Tyson could play left defensive end.
Well, I wonder if that's not a spot where you have to stop gap with somebody outside for a week until one of these guys get back. If that's something where you look at the waiver wire just to have a body. I don't know, but I mean,
I don't think so because I think they're pretty confident because you know.
How far out are Austin and George? I mean, we don't know that.
No, don't know. But Tyson can play in. He's played in before in the past. And the other guy that I think that could do it is D'Anthony Smith. Mm-hmm. D'Anthony Smith is a quick guy. He's got probably maybe the greatest speed of any of the defensive linemen, as far as you know, running down the line of scrimmage. So. I mean, he's a guy you could potentially move out there, you know, if he could handle the switch, you know, mentally, which, you know, I mean, defensive line is not rocket science.
If you keep, though, that's 10 guys you're going to keep down defensive line. If
I think
you do it that way.
I think that's going to be the number.
And they like Audric Gray a lot. I don't know. What happens with him.
Yeah, and I like him because, you know, he's one of those guys that's got that versatility, can play in, can play inside. He's in
the concussion program, I think, now. Is that right?
Yes.
So, you know, you're not sure where he's going to be at. But he's one of those guys that
Well, if you keep Audric Ray, then my guess is you'd have to either put Austin or George Selvey on
IR. I think it'd be hard. It would be tough to keep Audric Ray. I think it would be.
Just from a number standpoint. Just from a number standpoint. Start running out of spots.
Just from a number standpoint. And the other guys have played better at defensive tackle that we're talking about than he has.
But yeah, again, could be a guy that if he's released could be back.
Yes. He's a guy that knows the system. Last year was in it, you know. He's kept himself in great shape. We obviously saw that because he was invited to the tryout camp.
Right.
Came back, and he was probably one of the standouts.
And oftentimes guys like that are off the roster for a short time and wind up coming back and being long-term guys because they really like him. If somebody is injured, you could easily see him be a guy who's even a contributor down the road.
Yep, sounds like the worst defensive line in football to me. I'm just stunned. You have to have done zero homework.
I think the one position group that's going to give you the ability to go a little heavy at defensive line is linebacker. I think that's pretty light. You know, obviously, Clint Session is not taking up a roster spot with the PUP designation. You got your three starters, and then once you get past your three starters, you know, Kyle Bosworth. After that, that's kind of, you know, this game is going to probably be more important for that position group tomorrow night. If we're talking about the importance of tomorrow night's game for one position group,
linebacker is probably
number one.
Where's Jeff, where do you think Brandon Marshall stacks up right now?
Hold that thought. We've got to break for news here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back, talk more about the linebackers, and go to defensive secondary and special teams when we return.
Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. More Better Jaguars this week presented by Aetna. Coming up right after news on Jaguars Radio.
Hey, national media, just kiss it.
Gonna live in infamy on that.
Like it.
All right, so let's get back to the linebackers. You were talking about that group. There's a lot of young talent behind Paul Posluszny and Daryl Smith and Russell Allen.
Well,
how do you sort it out?
I mean, you like your starters. You feel confident in them. And I think Kyle Bosworth is a guy that can play multiple spots. But once you get past him, I think that this game tomorrow night is important for Julian Stanford, J.K. Schaefer, Joshua Jones, and Brandon Marshall.
From somewhere in that group will emerge a couple of roster guys. And at least.
Yeah, maybe one, but, you know, the waiver wire comes up again here in my mind at this position because special teams, if you can get a veteran guy that you know, is capable backup, that's a, you know, a good special teams player, you know, that could happen because all of these guys here, you know, haven't put anything out there on film that would make another team just come up and want to swoop them up. You know, and obviously – Brandon Marshall being the highest drafted as a fifth-round pick. Teams maybe think highly of him, but, you know, as a fifth-round pick, you know, it's not very often you see a fifth-round pick get cut from one team and then automatically get signed by another team off of waivers.
Right.
Just doesn't happen. Not coming into the first week of the season.
Out of that group, Jeff, who is leading between J.K. Schaefer, Julian Stanford, Joshua Jones, and Brandon Marshall? Is there a guy that – going into the
Is there one that stood out
yeah,
so far?
Yeah, that stood out.
No.
The only one for me that stood out only because you hear his name being called more than the rest is J.K. Schaefer. On tackles. I mean, just doing the games. I mean,
you know, hey, in practice, some of the physical things that Julian Stanford has shown.
Early, he was head and shoulders above
the rest. Even still, there are times that he does things from a balance and a speed standpoint that makes you go, that's nice. That guy's got some athletic ability.
Yeah, Mike usually doesn't try to mislead the media very much.
No.
Mike talked more about Joshua Jones this week with the sort of excitement that we've all seen from Mike when he's talking about a player that he really likes. He talked a lot about Joshua Jones this week, so that could be a hint.
And what he said was that, you know, he challenged the guys, look, you know, your opportunity, and Joshua Jones responded to that in practice so far.
And Mike likes that sort of thing.
Yeah, but you got to be able to respond in a game as well because that's the ultimate test. I mean, that's the highest percentage of the grade that you're going to have.
Right.
You know, you can do homework all week long.
And he said that. He said you got to do it in the game.
Yeah, the test at the end of the week comes up. That's You remember those days, Johnny O, when you just cram for the test and not go to class.
I always prepared, Jeff.
Your test was 100% of your grade.
I always prepared well in advance.
You didn't have to go to class in Florida, though. At least that's what all the football players have told me.
All right.
Yeah, different track than I was on.
All right, moving on to the secondary. How do you guys see it rolling out?
I think safety, you've got four guys. Courtney Green, because he's going to give you some things on special teams. I didn't like the missed tackle that he had in the last couple weeks. I think Antoine Blake has shown them enough as a special teams player, and he's got the ability to play corner. I think he's going to make it. I think a nice pleasant surprise. I mean, this year, you know, there's always one undrafted guy that's kind of stands out, and I think he got two this year, Antoine Blake and Mike Brewster. Mike Brewster, you know, and I'm not giving Mike Brewster credit just because he's had to play. I'm giving him credit because he has looked the part. I mean, he's played very well at center.
But go back to safety, Jeff. You said four.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Antoine Blake. Does that mean Krzyzewski's out?
Courtney Green are in. Antoine Blake, I consider a swing guy.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Right.
You said four and you didn't mention Krzyzewski. Okay.
Fans were going to jump on that and say, well, what about Krzyzewski?
Right.
But
no.
Krzyzewski and Green yeah. as your backups, yep. Dewan.
And you think Antoine Blake is a swing guy?
Antoine Blake was a corner in college.
Right.
I mean, the guy's super fast.
And so at the corner position, the guy, three guys you know are Rasheen Mathis, Derek Cox, Aaron Ross. And then you have a William Middleton, probably the fourth corner.
Well, Cox, Aaron Ross, Rasheen Mathis, William Middleton are your four. I think number five would be Kevin Rutland.
Ahead of Mike Harris.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay. Well, Mike Harris hasn't done much for me.
And I know they like what Mike Harris can do as a nickel back inside slot receiver.
But see, you got two nickels already. That's the thing. You've got Aaron Ross, who's a nickel, and then William Middleton is your second nickel. You know, so Mike Harris is basically a third nickel. And there's not many third nickels that are going to make a final roster. Just my opinion. And then if you get beyond that, you know, Antonio Denard, I think, is a developmental guy. Might have a chance to make it. Lee Torrance, we haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's been in the concussion program a long
time.
So you wonder if that's not an IR situation.
So, you know, to me, you know, going into the regular season, from a standpoint of, you know, are you concerned about one group? That's the group that I would say that I'm most concerned about.
The secondary?
Yeah. Not secondary, corner.
Well, corner because Rasheen's not 100% yet, and Derek Cox is iffy for the opener. And that takes a position of strength to a position of question.
To me, that's – and I think, John, you're right on the money. I mean, to
I don't worry about them
injury,
in the opener because we're playing the Minnesota Vikings.
Injury, rehabilitation, you know, with Rasheen, and then with Derek Cox, big question mark.
And Rasheen has come along remarkably quick and continues to progress. I think we'll eventually be fine. But he said this week it's now more a matter of getting the number of plays that he can play at a time well up.
Yeah, he's going to get better and better.
Yeah, but
well, and I don't
it's a strength issue now.
I mean, you look at the schedule, though, it sets up to get Rasheen back healthy because you play the Minnesota Vikings with a team that doesn't throw the ball very well, and then you play the Tennessee Titans the next week.
Next week is Houston.
Oh, excuse me. Never mind.
You wouldn't
take
mind
that
having,
back. I thought we played.
You wouldn't mind having a corner or two for that game.
That game you did. I thought, yeah, that crash and burn. At least week one, I was right.
All right, let's
yeah, you needed some guys to cover those Andre Johnson and the rest of them.
Tony needs it to be time for a break.
That'd be nice.
Let's ask Joe. Joe, can it be time for a break? What do you think?
It could be anything you want it to be.
I'm going to look up the menu for Latitude 30. If we start talking about food, it might make you more energetic, Big Fella.
I'm energetic. I thought we played Tennessee the second week. I apologize.
All right.
It's easy to confuse.
What do we play in week three?
Tennessee, Texans.
Is it week three?
I think we play sometime in November.
No, the Colts are week three.
Week three.
But you keep swinging, Tony.
I know it's not week four because it's Bengals.
Can somebody get Tony a schedule?
Can I get a schedule? Help me.
I'm going to get a
sandwich.
Can someone send me
a sandwich?
A lifeline. Give me a lifeline.
You're close. They play the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
That's close.
And they play
that's what I mean.
They play the Sunday after Christmas.
I meant
so they do play.
You were close, Tony.
I meant week two of the second half of the season.
Now we understand. Okay.
His mind was drifting off to November.
Already.
That's when Thanksgiving comes.
Joe, where's your mind?
at my mind right now, it's on a different menu. It's Sonny's. Check this out, Tony. You can visit Sonny's today. Try their new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket, just $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. More Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna right here on Jaguars Radio.
You know, people are excited for football to be back. I'm count me among them. I'm watching this story about semi-pro football. I don't think I'd ever be that desperate.
Me either.
Yeah.
To watch it or play it.
I heard Tony's gonna be signing with a semi-pro team. Him and Roger Clemens are partnering up for this big campaign. You know, for
I got
like
two
one
new
a day
I got,
vitamins.
I got two new hips. I'm ready.
He'd sign as long as they gave him some food.
Which reminds me to remind you that next Wednesday night and through the rest of the
food.
Season, we will be at Latitude 30, the official away game headquarters of the Jaguars. We're on away game Sundays. Enjoy the Jags crew. That'll be D-Line, cheerleaders, Jackson DeVille at Latitude 30 right across from the Avenues Mall. We'll be there every Wednesday. You're welcome to come join us. Just keep your hands away from Tony's mouth until we're sure that he is satiated.
Well, and at some point this year, we will have a bowl off. Okay, post radio show.
Yeah,
we will have a Jaguars This Week bowling championship.
That sounds like it's got, you know, sponsor potential.
And I expect Joe to dig deep. No, not real deep in his closet, but dig in his closet, break out some of the 1970s.
Does he really have to dig that deep?
That's why I said not that deep.
How about just open his closet?
So just come on in, Jeff.
I'll tell you right now.
Do you have a ball?
Yes, but you're absolutely right.
Of course he does.
You do, don't you?
Bowling shoes that are Velcro.
Sweet. Sweet. What color?
They're gray.
Gray?
A little disappointing for you.
That's kind of strange for you.
Yeah. They kind of look like Docksiders.
You got the bell bottoms still? You know, what do they call them? The wide flare 70s
pants? Not anymore,
pants?
But I could bowl in those. Absolutely.
You don't have them anymore?
No.
You got some shirts, though.
I got bowling shirts.
He still wears
Italian.
Them. What are you
I'm
talking
Italian.
About?
Of course
you
I got bowling shirts.
You're Italian. Do you have bowling shirts?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, I do. I'll go find one.
Hey, folks, if that's not reason enough to come out, I'm sure the food is good. We're going to find out because Tony's going to taste
everything
on the
everything.
Menu.
Can you bowl, Joe?
I've bowled before. It's been a long time. I used to be good.
Okay, but you have your own bowling ball.
Were you in a bowling league?
Give me a number.
Like 160?
Ooh,
as an average?
Ooh, he's my partner.
It was a long time. Nah, it was a long time ago.
Were you in a bowling league?
I'll still take
it. Oh, yeah.
It'll be you and Sexton.
Okay.
Baselli and Sexton versus Fortunato and Loggeman and Johnny O.
Hey, watch out. I took a bowling class at Florida.
I'm worried about you getting hurt.
You just worry about yourself, Loggy.
There's so much potential,
folks. What we'll do is, you know, with Johnny O,
okay,
we'll make it a three-person team. We'll put Craig with Johnny O.
Who?
Craig could do it.
Goodness.
Right?
Good luck, John.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Craig could be the best bowler out of all of us.
He might be. You never know.
He could drink some beer, I'll tell you.
Okay, we've got less than 10 minutes left. And it's time to talk about special teams. We know who the kicker is. We know who the punter is.
I think Brian Anger makes his team.
Okay. Mike Thomas is the punt returner. Who's the kickoff returner?
Parmalee, I think.
Well.
Or it could be Mike Thomas.
Yeah, it could be either one of them. You know, and how many are they going to get? I mean, really. I mean, we've seen some kick returns mm-hmm. in preseason so far, but I think we see that more because the teams want to evaluate the kick returners. And so I think the percentage of kick returns in the preseason are much higher than they would be for the regular season.
I mean, if you're looking to save a roster spot and you're iffy on Parmalee, with these rules, I don't think it's absurd to have Mike do both.
No, but Parmalee gives you something in coverage teams. I mean, so
true.
I mean, either guy.
But there are decisions like that. They're going to have to get kicked around this weekend because of injuries. So.
You have to remember, you want Mike Thomas as your slot receiver still. I mean, he's your guy. I mean, that's the guy. You're starting three receivers.
Yeah, but he can do both.
Oh, yeah, I think he can do that and be your punt returner. I don't know if he's going to be your punt returner, kickoff returner, and your. I mean, I think. Well, I could be wrong. I mean, I don't think so.
I think he could be because I think, and I don't know this, but I think before long, you know who's going to be in the slot? 14.
Really?
No.
I'm just telling you.
Why?
Why do you say that?
Where do you get the best match? The best matchups? Where can you always get the coverage declared at when you go to three wides? The slot.
Right.
You know, most teams have their nickel. He's the third guy. Not a lot of teams are like the Jaguars, where they move a starter
Justin Blackmon to the nickel position. He might play some slot and move him around because he's a guy you want to get matchups, but he's going to be your outside receiver.
I'm just telling you.
I don't see it.
Osh?
If they do that, does Cecil play or Rubisky or
Rubisky
who goes outside?
Play, you know, week to week.
Why would you not put Mike Thomas? Your best three receivers right now are Justin Blackman, Mike Thomas, and LaRon Robinson.
I'm not saying that Mike comes off the field. I mean, he could go move out.
Why would you do that? I mean, we've seen between last year and this year, Mike Thomas's best position where he is most effective is in the slot.
Well, that's because you're clarifying him as a slot receiver.
No, that's because where he's the most effective.
I'm just saying is you're saying that he's the most effective in the slot because that's the position typically of a third wide receiver.
No, that's not why I'm saying that. I'm saying that because that's where he is most effective.
Well, you only have a slot when you have three wides.
I understand that. Your best two receivers on the outside are LaRon Robinson and Justin Blackmon.
I think your best wide receiver anywhere is Justin Blackmon. I don't care where he's at.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying
– So you're going to do what's best to get him open.
Yeah, you might move him around, but you're starting to
– that best sometimes as a slot.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, he played it in college.
I heard Cecil Shorts made a couple of catches on the practice field this week that had everybody dazzled. That I mean, you said that
so
he
you're
was
saying you put Cecil outside and put Justin in the slot?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just bringing
that's what
up,
he,
I'm,
you're just saying what
I'm
that's
changing
what he said.
The, well, put, I figured you've settled it. I'm changing the conversation.
You could put
bit.
Mike outside and put Justin in the slot. You still get your three wide receivers on the field. I'm just saying that Justin Blackmon is going to get moved around a little.
Okay,
bit.
I'm not going to disagree.
I guess I'm wondering
that,
if Mike Thomas is really your third best or if it's Cecil.
Well, from the
so far, Mike.
So far,
yeah, from the games,
if you're going to judge
Mike.
Based on the games, Mike Thomas is your best slot receiver.
And you could make an argument that he's not your third best. You could make an argument that Brian Rubisky is your third best wide receiver. I mean, the numbers are there. You know, Brian Rubisky's had a tremendous preseason.
Well, he's been outstanding, but he's been doing it against the second and third defenses. If you look at what we have seen on the tape
but
the preseason.
But day after day in practice, Brian Rubisky has stood out.
Well, then why isn't he – if that's the case, if he's been standing out so much the entire camp, why is he not getting reps with the ones?
Because he plays behind LaRon Robinson.
No, but if you're saying is accurate, then you would put him outside and move Justin inside.
Maybe. I'm just saying you've got flexibility.
While we're on the subject of receivers, a lot of talk this week about LaRon Robinson. One catch, 7 yards. Jeff, you certainly watch film more than I do. Talk about –
he's got to do a better job.
Okay.
I mean, he's got to do a better job. There were three balls that were contested, and he didn't come down with any of the three. And
I'd agree with that.
A couple of the plays, he had press coverage, and he didn't get any separation on press coverage. I mean, he's got – to be able to win in some of those instances. You know, his play's got to be elevated, you know, so he's a guy, you know, to watch. You know, not so much in this game, but in the regular season, mm-hmm. You know, he's got things to prove.
It seemed, from what I saw in practice, he's got the ability to do those things you're talking about. Just hadn't done in the games yet.
Yeah, in practice we've seen some deep balls mm-hmm. that he's made some nice plays on.
And gotten some separation against first team.
Yeah, separation against first team corners. I mean, you know, we've seen some of it. We just, you know, as we always say, the test is the games. And in Baltimore, he didn't do well on the test. But we've seen it in practice.
Right.
We know that there are things there. So am I concerned? No.
Do you want
to
see
it? Watching it?
Right.
Yes.
All right.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that we're going to move Justin Blackmon inside to the slot.
I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I have no idea.
You did.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you basically said that.
You sort of said it was going to happen.
Yeah, you said that. You said that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Blackmon were to end up in the slot.
Okay. The only thing I'll agree with you there is that
my argument
during a game – I can see Justin Blackmon being moved around.
Will you stop yelling just for a minute?
I'm not yelling.
Are you kidding?
Let me explain myself.
I'm flabbergasted.
All I meant was that I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this year you see Justin Blackmon in the slot as the inside wide receiver.
At some point, sure.
It had no commentary about the performance of Mike Thomas.
No, I didn't say it was.
It was about the ability to get better matchups for a premium wide receiver in Justin Blackmon. Now, do you move Mike Thomas back to where Justin was at, or do you put Brian – whatever. I'm just saying is that a lot of times as a coordinator, because the
you
slot
want to move
guy,
guys around.
He's
I
a
get
move
that.
Guy.
I get that.
You can get the matchups sometimes that are more favorable.
And Mike has said since day one that this is an offense that, as it develops, you'll see more and more guys playing more and more different roles at receiver, because his whole idea, he doesn't like to confuse the offense, but he likes to give the defense a lot of different looks, and that could be a part of that.
Absolutely.
And that's fair. My whole point was that as you put your best three guys –
you didn't listen.
No, I think I did. John agreed that you basically said that he –
John didn't listen either.
Brian, you want to stay out of this?
Okay, give me a little help here.
Okay. Well, what
he wasn't listening.
I got to jump on his side at that point because he asked for it.
That's fine. Help him out. Help him out. Where Jeff is 100% correct, by far, if you watch the preseason, the best player at the wide receiver position is Justin Blackmon, and so you're going to do whatever you can to get the best matchups, because when he has the ball in his hands, he's a threat to make a big play.
All right, so then the last 2 minutes of the show, how good can he be? Because I heard it in your voice logs when you said, oh, no, he's special.
Yeah, he's watching his college tape, you know, you just knew. I mean, because every time somebody played Oklahoma State, you knew where the ball was going, and he still made play after play after play. And to watch him control his body, and people always say, what's the greatest attribute he has? It's his body control. Yeah. And I've said that from the very beginning. It's his ability to use his body to create separation, to protect his hands, and to make defenders miss after the catch.
And a close second to the greatest quality of those mitts.
Hands. Phenomenal hands. Now, that's not to say that he won't have an occasional drop.
No, so, but they all,
you know, he had a few of them at Oklahoma State. I mean, he's not perfect, but he's really good.
And isn't it nice? I mean, this team needed a first rounder that was obviously good, obviously early. And it's clear that he is going to be a factor now. And if he gets better from now, boy, how good is he going to be?
Would we all agree going into the season, he's the number one receiver on this team?
No doubt. No doubt. After 12-day holdout, and he's
two
already
games.
Proven that he is the guy. When they go to Minnesota and Leslie Frazier and the Minnesota Vikings are game planning, the attention is going on 14.
8 catches in the preseason, 4 of which are 16 yards or greater. So, all right, folks, don't forget, next week we're at Latitude 30. And tomorrow night, kickoff at 6:30. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show begins at 3:30.